on today's Run to the Top podcast.
There are so many people that put so much effort and passion and time into their own running, and it's just so fulfilling to be able to see them achieve what they've been looking for. And so when you read those race reports or you get those emails that just when people talk about how much you've helped, it's just an amazing feeling.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. Last week, we had guests Misa Dugali, Jeff Stokes, and Katie Ownby talk about starting their running business called Stride. Stride is a franchise type of business geared to runners. Our focus during the talk was to introduce you as running lovers to some of the business options out there that cater to runners if you are considering this line of work. Today, we have our very own Runners Connect founder, Jeff Gaudette, to share his story, why, how, and what compelled him to start his own running business. Welcome, Jeff.
Ah, thank you, Stephanie. It's good to be back on the podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know it's been a while, so it's always good to have you here. Well, we'll jump right into the interview after a brief break to thank our Run to the Top sponsors. Today's episode is sponsored by UKEN, the superstarch energy bars and powders that provide long-lasting fuel before and during training runs and races with no sugar spikes and no crashes. Later in the episode, I'm going to outline what the research shows UKEN can do for your fueling and tell you how you can save 20% on your order. Welcome back to Run to the Top podcast. Our guest today is the founder, owner of Runners Connect and the Run to the Top podcast, Jeff Gaudette. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. Me too. So we'll skip our usual first four. You've done that at least two or three times with me and get right into the details of creating a business like Runners Connect. You have a running background. So tell us a bit about it and what was the turning point that led you from being a runner to starting a running business?
Yeah. So I've been a runner pretty much all my life, high school, college. And then I continued to run professionally after college. And I think that's the time period when I started to think about coaching, or at least opening a running business. Pretty much everything I did in college and afterwards was so focused on running. I really, at the beginning, I was really focused on running injuries. Part of the reason was that I had them a lot. And the other part was that it was really satisfying to be able to help runners with injuries. So I actually opened a massage clinic. I got my massage license and then opened a sports massage clinic when I was training professionally in Michigan. And at the same time, I also started to coach as well, just because it was training theory had been something that was always so interesting to me. And so initially, I just started coaching friends and people that had approached me, that kind of thing. So the idea of actually starting a running business really was more actually opening a massage studio rather than actually a coaching business. Coaching was just something that I did for fun and kind of on the side initially.
And what was the turning point where you decided that massage was only going to be maybe a part of what you were doing and you became a full-fledged running business?
Oh, good question. It was probably about 3 or 4 years into my professional running career. Part of the reason was that I was moving around a lot, changing training groups. I think I changed training groups 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. So a massage practice, which is something that obviously you need to be physically present for. Once you move, you kind of lose all your clients, et cetera. Really wasn't a viable business moving forwards because I kind of had to restart every time. And at the same time, what was happening with coaching clients was that I was picking up a couple of coaching clients in the area that I was in. And then if I moved, I was still coaching them virtually. So mostly over email. And so over time, that business just continued to build up mm-hmm. naturally because it was something I could continue to do regardless of where I was, where I was located.
So tons of running clubs out there and training programs. What did you look at with starting your own business that would be different and that would, you know, offer something unique to your clients?
Yeah. So Runners Connect or the idea behind coaching really kind of just snowballed. It was never something I specifically like really planned for mm-hmm. because it was just, I just continued to take on clients. And It wasn't until probably maybe about a year, year and a half into coaching, probably maybe 10 to 12 runners, that I actually started to see this as an actual business. And I always thought that our biggest or my biggest strength were two things. One, everything was very individualized. I was very big on that and separating ourselves from a lot of the template stuff, especially that was kind of around at the time. This was probably like 2007, 2008.
Okay.
Really separating ourselves by offering individual plans.
Yeah.
And then the second part was really basing a lot of those plans on science. And that's kind of when I also started the blog and started writing a lot, writing about the research behind a lot of the training theory that was coming out, research behind products, ideas in the running industry, and basically applying a lot of that science to the training schedules and routines, et cetera, that we were providing our athletes. And so I think that were the two big differentiators between what I was doing and what was kind of existing on the market.
So you took the scientific, the research part of it, and that's always been kind of integral from, you know, from being a massage therapist to moving into running as a business, but really using the scientific, the research part of it as kind of a focus for what you offered.
Yeah, for me, that had always been my biggest interest. I read everything I could in college. I didn't major in exercise physiology, but I pretty much might as well have since I took a lot of courses in that area. So it was always, for me, my most the most passionate part about running for me when it came to training and that kind of thing. And so I just naturally started to write a lot about that.
Yeah.
And it resonated really well with a lot of people. And so I kind of stumbled across that in terms of I guess you could call it a niche or a specific area that we wanted to focus on.
Yeah.
But I think it resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah. It's something that I really appreciate with being hosting this podcast is being able to, not that we never have people who don't do scientific research on their, on whatever they're talking about, but that's a real important part of what Runners Connect is about. And I appreciate that. And it's fun interviewing these people who've done so much work and research and really are experts in the area. So I appreciate that myself. And I'm sure the listeners do as well. Now, you clearly took advantage of the internet. That was something that time-wise, you were kind of right on with the internet, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, the Runners Connect as a business really evolved and it kind of snowballed kind of just naturally. So like I said, when I first started, it was just I was kind of collecting clients from people that I knew, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And as I moved, or we started to basically use email. So I would send them a training schedule via Excel, and then they would just email me back daily or every couple of days with updates on their workouts. And that was kind of how things went. But then two things happened. First, I started to get more clients than I could personally handle. And so I was looking for ways that I could expand the business without having to take on more athletes because it just wasn't something that I was capable of doing.
Right.
So a natural part of that would be to bring on other coaches under the Runners Connect umbrella. Uh-huh. So that was kind of the first step. I started talking to some friends who were coaches, et cetera, that were looking to maybe do it online and kind of brought them under the fold. The second thing and the bigger part of it was as I continued to grow, what I noticed was that a lot of the athletes that I coached were training for either the same race or very similar goals. Uh-huh. So the most prominent example was the Boston Marathon. So I think in 2009 or 2010, I was personally coaching about 15 athletes that were training for the Boston Marathon that year. And I remember thinking, you know, getting roughly the same emails back to back about being nervous or being worried about this particular workout or the hills or whatever, you know, very, very similar concerns. And I remember thinking, man, I wish I could put these people in touch with each other because they have such a shared experience with my training program, but also training for Boston.
Right.
So I was like, rather than just one-on-one emailing people, it would be really great if these people could also connect.
And the internet was like perfect for that medium.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's kind of where the name for Runners Connect came from was not only the coaching side of things, but being able to connect other runners with each other. And so that's when I started to think about building a platform in which we could not only deliver training, but also allow athletes to connect with each other to help motivate them, to help keep them, you know, to help alleviate the fears that all athletes have at the same time periods in a training plan. And so
very
that's
cool.
things evolved and started building the platform from there.
So pretty much a grassroots effort on your part, and then taking advantage of technology as well as the knowledge that that you had gained from your own running experience and from your education. So what legally, what did you end up doing? Like right now, what is the legal designation of Runners Connect?
Yeah, so we're an S corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of why we chose that, it was really just my uncle's an accountant. And so we had talked about the different legal formations that Runners Connect could be. And
right.
Two options were basically LLC and S Corp. And uh-huh. Just from a tax-based purpose, the S Corp made a little bit more sense for what our situation was.
Can you talk about that, moving a business from, I'm guessing that when you started, you were a sole proprietorship.
Correct.
And when people started paying you, they probably just paid it to Jeff Gaudette. But when you changed over, what was the reasoning for that besides the tax purposes? And how did you, it sounds like your uncle helped you with that, but how did you arrive at this S Corp from being a sole proprietorship? I'm asking this as someone looking into different business models and wondering, you know, how do they get from point A to point B?
Yeah, good question. So there were a couple different factors that went into it. Obviously, as you continue to grow, it just makes sense at some point to form either an LLC or an S corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is obviously for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it a lot easier when you're doing your taxes to say, okay, this is the income that I'm getting from my business. And I think right around that time is when I also transitioned from, I was working other jobs to basically doing coaching full time. And so
mm-hmm.
at that point, it made sense to have a corporation to kind of, this is the company that I work for kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second part was also some protection.
Mm-hmm.
This gets a little complicated. I'm obviously not a lawyer or an accountant or anything like that. But from my understanding, putting the business in a corporation helped protect me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if something had happened and the business was, if somebody sued the business, they would be suing the business, not me personally. And so at the time I was looking at getting married, et cetera. And so obviously we wanted to make sure that if anything happened, it wouldn't come after the family. It would be completely on the business side of things. So that's where the two main things came across was just the tax side of it, making sure that I was making the correct payments, making sure that everything was taken care of legally, and then also from a legal side, making sure that we were protected.
Yeah, and these are questions unique to each person who might be thinking of starting some kind of a business. But so many of us out there do coaching, and at some point, maybe we even get paid a little bit for it. But when you get as serious as you have with offering all kinds of programs and research and putting a lot of effort into your work, then asking these questions and finding out the individual answers based on your unique situation, anyone's unique situation, would be a really important part of getting that business up to snuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but my mm-hmm. recommendation for people that are getting started is until you're really making a decent amount of money, and decent is obviously different for everybody, but I would say mm-hmm. probably a few thousand a month,
mm-hmm.
Then I wouldn't necessarily worry about how you're incorporated or what kind of legal entity you are,
mm-hmm.
because the chances of something happening are pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's better to spend your time on developing your business, working with clients, marketing, et cetera. Spend
mm-hmm.
your time on that and worry about the legal stuff. When it makes more sense. That could be, you know, $1,000-$3,000 a month, whatever it may be. And then you can move into what it takes to form a corporation, LLC, whatever. And it's really not super difficult, especially nowadays. There are services that can actually pretty much do everything for you. You pretty much just tell them your information and they do all the paperwork, file everything. Probably anywhere, depending on what state you live in, you know, it's anywhere from a few hundred to a little under $1,000. To get it taken care of. So it's not something that I would really stress about or prevent
Good
you
point.
From starting a business or doing something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Just make sure that it's something you start taking care of once you realize that it's a viable business.
Yeah, and just doing the research on that part of it as well, so that you're keeping up with whatever else is going on with getting a business started. Now, I have a question for you about employees, because you obviously have more than one person working. And how have you handled that? How has that been part of the evolution of Runners Connect?
Yeah, so interestingly, I ran for the Hanson's Olympic Development Project. And so their model, if people aren't familiar, is it basically it's a way for elite athletes to be able to continue to train at a professional level and get the support they need in order to train. And the way the Hanson's had done that was they owned three or four running stores in the Michigan area. And so they actually allowed the athletes to work at the running stores. And that was one of the ways that they were funding. And they kind of worked part-time, obviously were really flexible on the hours and understanding that they needed to travel for racing and running, et cetera. So that was always kind of something that I really admired about them and that I wanted to emulate in my business. And so when we started looking at hiring or bringing on other people, whether it be employees or contractors, I really wanted to, especially initially back in the early 2000s, was to be able to provide opportunities for athletes that were training at the professional level and needed some kind of outside job support in order to allow them to continue to train. And so that was always the probably the first five or six people that brought on that we brought on with Runners Connect. That was kind of their position, was they were training at a high level professionally and were looking to do some coaching or other type of job work on the side with somebody that could understand their unique needs as runners, that you know, they're probably not going to be available in the morning for 2 or 3 hours when they do their run, that they're going to have to need time off for travel, et cetera. And so that was always something that I was always really interested in. And then even as the company continued to grow and we brought on more specialized positions outside of just running coaches, it was always something that I looked at was how do we provide opportunities for people that have other interests that are either need to work remote or have other interests outside of working a full-time job. And how do we bring that into our corporate culture? And so that was always something that had been interesting to me. And so that's kind of how things evolved in terms of bringing on employees, contractors, et cetera.
Nice. So can you describe a part of your business that you tried that didn't work? Some program or whatever that just wasn't worth continuing?
Yeah, there are all kinds of things. And I encourage anybody that's listening to this that is starting their own business or, you know, really pushing towards, is that there are going to be a lot of things that you try and fail. And I think it's hard because we pretty much all the stories that we read, whether it be listening to podcasts or reading articles about people that start businesses, et cetera, are all the success stories. So we just feel that every time somebody does something, it works marvelously. Or if you're looking at like marketing efforts, it always seems like this is the next big thing, whether it be an email trick or Facebook Messenger or social media, whatever it may be. Whoever is successful at it makes it kind of seem so easy and that it's going to work for everybody. So there are so many things that I have tried that, you know, oh, this works great for everybody and just never push the needle for us. And so an example of that from a product side would be we tried offering nutritional services. So basically having like nutritional consultations, et cetera. And, you know, it's one of those things we were getting a lot of feedback that people were really interested in nutrition. Obviously nutrition is very important and we offered that service and it was really not, we just found that our audience wasn't receptive to it. So I never really dug in to understand exactly why. Part of that was because, at that point I realized, okay, let's stick to the coaching and what we're good at. And that's when I started to not branch off and to do, I decided as a general whole, not to do other branch offs of service products.
Interesting.
So if I had still, obviously if I wanted to do nutrition products, I would have really tried to dig in and understand, okay, what is it about this service that you weren't interested in? How can we make it better? How can we serve your needs better? But yeah, that was something that I, again, we were getting a lot of questions about it and I just thought, oh, this is a perfect fit for what we're doing. And it just wasn't something that, resonated.
And also branching out too much or too quickly can definitely be an issue, but just spreading yourself too thin.
Absolutely. That's definitely a mistake that I've made in the past and that we're kind of continuing to try to rectify and make a little bit better. Mm-hmm. It gets difficult on a lot of reasons. First, like you said, your attention gets divided. So we've created a lot of different products to help runners, and they've all been very successful, and we put a lot of time and effort into them. Mm-hmm. But maintaining and supporting them definitely requires a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And so both in terms of just the, obviously supporting and making sure that they're updated and all that stuff, but then also from the marketing side. So, you know, we get people into our funnel, and it can get complicated to try to parse and understand what exactly that they're looking for and how we can help them the most.
Yeah, I would think just having the energy for it. I mean, you are so available to me anyway when I have questions or I have issues. And if you're like that with all of your employees, I'm guessing you are, then, you know, you can only spread yourself out so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely becomes the issue. And so I feel like definitely sticking to kind of one thing or maybe two things is a really important part of being able to grow and have a successful business.
So question here, well, two questions. I'll give them both to you at the same time. So I'd love to have you tell us some of your successes with this business that you feel really have defined what Runners Connect is about, but also how much time on average, this is for our people thinking of starting their own business. How much time do you spend in a week on your business?
You working on the business? Yeah. So I work quite a bit. I would say probably close to 60 or 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
The benefits of running your own business, I know this is a question that you had said you might ask later on, but I'll get to it now. But so it's 60 to 70 hours a week. That's obviously a lot of work. But I think there's two things. One, for the most part, I really enjoy it. For me, my personality is that I am very motivated and happy to work when it's things that I want to work on. Mm-hmm. And so because I own the business, I pretty much can work on most of the things that I want to work on as I go. So that definitely makes me happy.
Yeah.
The second thing is that my work, I say on average 60 hours a week or so, but that is whenever I want it to be. And so it was funny. I was thinking about this the other day. My girlfriend and I went to San Diego for the weekend, and I took off on Friday because that was just when it made it easiest to go. And so my schedule is so flexible that I am able to say, okay, I'm not going to work on this Friday, and I don't have to ask anybody. I don't have to get permission. I just need to skip my work in advance so that I don't have anything to do for that Friday. And so that flexibility is something that at this point I almost take for granted because it's been so long that I don't realize that most people can't just take off a random Wednesday if they need or whatever.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's something that's really, really invaluable and something that I love a lot.
Now, of course, the downside of that is that whatever didn't get done on that Friday, you have to catch up with it because you've got all the other stuff that needs to be done too. That's piling up.
Right. So what happens is I return on Sunday evening and I have to go to work for 3 or 4 hours to kind of catch back up on everything I missed for being away for the last 2 days. So yeah, there's definitely that.
Yeah. Yeah. So describe some of the best successes of Runners Connect. It clearly is successful, and I love being a part of it. But tell us some of the most successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think any coach would say this, but really it comes across from our athletes who email us and just tell us about their success. Every week we post a race results report with everybody that ran and how they did, et cetera. And just reading that every week is just amazing because there are so many people that put so much effort and passion and time into their own running. And it's just so fulfilling to be able to see them achieve what they've been looking for. And so when you get those, when you read those race reports or you get those emails that just when people talk about how much you've helped, it's just an amazing feeling. And I think for us too, we do some meetups. We do some of the bigger races, Boston, Chicago, New York, et cetera. When we have coaches available, we do meetups at those races. And then we also do in-person camps 3 times a year. And at those events, it's always amazing to be able to connect and actually talk with athletes because they share their stories about how much we've been able to help. And that is, it's still difficult to put into words how that makes me feel.
Oh, I bet.
Because it's so fulfilling.
Yeah.
So those are the times where, you know, I can just remember just people talking about how they were so unhealthy before, or maybe they weren't even running at all. And they, now they're, I mean, lifelong runners, or people that had been trying to qualify for Boston for so long. And we were finally able to kind of get, break them through that barrier and kind of what it meant for them from from a standpoint of how they felt about themselves. I think that was really the cool thing.
Very cool. And because of Runners Connect, you are reaching so many more people than you would be able to reach as an individual coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now we have about 800 athletes that we work with across the world.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that, like I said, it makes it's one of those things, like when we read the race reports, you know, we have 15 to 20 people racing almost every week.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of those 70, 80% of them are setting PRs. And so being able to see seeing those results every week is pretty amazing.
So, okay, lots of successes, lots of good with your own business. What are some of the downsides of having your own business?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, obviously part of it is, a big part of it is putting in the work, right? So, you know, working long hours, having to, you know, like I said, I have flexible hours and that I can take a day off if I want here or there. But there are also times where I'm waking up at 11 o'clock at night and realizing that something needs to get done, or waking up early in the morning and realizing there's a customer service issue that needs to get taken care of. Those are the hardest things. And I think some people that don't own their own business still deal with those. Like if you're on call as an IT technician or whatever, but it's very stressful when, you know, the website goes down or something like that. And those are very, very stressful times. And I think the thing with your own business is that, this is an overreaching theme, is that you're kind of, you feel in it alone, right? And so when you work for another company, it's, you know, you have coworkers, you have a boss who presumably is the one that's kind of taking the brunt of the stress or the issues, and you just kind of have a specific job that you need to do.
Right.
Whereas with the business, it can feel very alone, and it can feel very isolating in terms of how the problems that you need to fix. And so that's one big thing. Another thing that I find a lot too is, and I've been listening to some podcasts on this, but with businesses, that you have to make decisions every single day without having all of the data.
Interesting.
So, you know, yeah. So that's one thing that I think leads to a lot of the stress is that you say, okay, we need to make a change to this program. Now you have to try to figure out what the big change is going to be, but you don't have obviously the benefit of hindsight, or you don't have all the data to be able to make that decision. And so you kind of have to just make the decision based on what you have available to you. And that can be very stressful. It can weigh on your mind and just kind of be in the back of your mind.
Gotcha.
Okay. I need to make the decision. Did I make the right decision? Am I making the right decision as you do things? And so I think that's where it can get very stressful.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Running yourself. How much time do you have for that?
Yeah, so I definitely have always been somebody that I've always made time in my day for exercise. I realize just how important that is. It makes me feel so much better. So I always leave at least an hour to 2 hours a day to exercise. Usually it's closer to an hour. So yeah, right now I've been running 2-3 times a week. I prefer the gym a little bit more these days, so I've been doing that a little bit more. But generally speaking, I leave myself at least an hour a day for exercise.
I think that's such an important thing. And again, if you've made that a priority, then even though you might have to work an extra hour later in the day or whatever, you can fit that in because of being your own boss.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something, again, that obviously makes it really nice to have a flexible schedule. But for me, it's just one of those things where I always work out in the evenings. And for me, it's because it's a really big stress relief and a way to turn off work. So one of the issues that I've always had, and I think a lot of, I work from home for the most part. And so I think an issue that most people have from working from home is that it's very difficult to turn off.
Right.
Because there's a very, very little separation between your workstation or your work environment and your home environment. Yeah. For me, even having a room in the house still is very easy to just walk in the room, turn on the computer and do some work. So, yeah. And so I always found that going to the gym was a great way to turn off, because otherwise there's just always stuff to do.
Totally.
Like my to-do list is, you know, I try to have a daily to-do list, which is like, this needs to get done today. And then there's like a to-do list of like, here are the ideas that I have, or here are the things that I need to get to at some point. And so if I don't go to the gym, what I find is that I'll just sit and work and work and work and work. And so for me, going to the gym or going for a run is that time where it's like, okay, let's shut it off. I get out, I kind of get out of the work mode. And then once I'm out of work mode, I'm able to shut it off for the rest of the night. So it's, that's definitely an important thing for me.
That's a really good point and good information for other people to consider, whether they're owning their own business or whether it's just some other aspect of their life that, you know, you can just continue fretting about it or working on it or whatever forever because of the way technology is these days. So it's great to have some kind of a turnoff point. And I love that you're going to the gym, both gives you exercise and also gives you a way to de-stress, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any upcoming events? Now, of course, this podcast could be listened to for several years. So upcoming events or exciting news from Runners Connect that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so we don't have a ton of upcoming events that are like still available. We actually just finished our first summer camp, which was in North Carolina at Zap Fitness. That was last weekend. So that was really fun. Those are the camps are definitely some of the most fun things that we do as a business.
Cool.
And then for the first time this year, we're going to Portugal, and that's in 2 weeks. Me and a couple other coaches are going to Portugal with some of our athletes and doing some training runs, et cetera, learning about running. So those are a lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the Portugal trip. That's the first time we've done anything overseas. And so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you're saying they're sold out or of course they're completed if it was the North Carolina one, but if people are interested, then one of the things they might want to do at the end of this podcast is get in touch with Runners Connect and find out when the next ones are scheduled.
Yeah. So we have about 3 per year. You can always email me, jeff@runnersconnect.net or on our website, there's a tab that's for retreats. We always have 3. We have usually one in like the late winter, early spring, one in the summer, and then one in the fallish, September kind of being fall. And so we haven't put together the dates yet for 2020, but we'll be doing that probably next month. So we'll have all the details for what that'll be. So definitely excited. The winter one is always in a warmer climate. Last year we were in San Diego, looking at either San Diego again or kind of like Arizona area. And then we always usually do one in North Carolina and then potentially doing another one in Europe, depending on how this one goes.
And you might want to try Mexico. As you know, I'm in Mexico and this might be a reasonable location for a winter retreat.
Yeah, it's definitely been on my high on my list for sure.
We can talk about that more another time. Okay, we're kind of focusing on starting a business today. So is there anything that you would suggest to listeners that might want to start their own running business? One kind of final point or summary of what we've been talking about?
Yeah, my best piece of advice, I think, would be when you're first getting started out, focus on a niche. I see a lot of running businesses or a lot of running coaches try to be a coach for everyone. So maybe you go to their webpage and they say, we coach everyone from first time runner to Olympic athletes. And I think one of those things, it's like you certainly you can be a coach that does both. But I think on both ends of the spectrum, you're probably going to turn off users or turn off potential athletes because somebody that's a real beginner is going to say, well, there's no way I don't deserve to be coached by somebody that can coach Olympic athletes. And I don't think an Olympic caliber of somebody that maybe trying to qualify for the trials is going to say, well, I really would prefer somebody that focuses on elite athletes, et cetera. So I would say find a niche. And that niche doesn't have to be a performance range. It doesn't have to be beginners or elite athletes. It could be busy professionals, busy mothers. It could be people training for a specific race. There's all kinds of different niches that you can get into to get started. And that's going to really help you focus and be able to help your athletes the most and also help with the marketing to be able to focus and find those athletes. And then as you grow, then you can expand the niche in terms of who you're able to help and provide better resources for those people.
Right. Well, that is really good advice. And it's something I know Runners Connect has done because, you know, if you were coaching 10 or 15 people and then started expanding, realized at some point you really can't give all of those people the kind of service that they need at the kind of level that they might need. So then you have the opportunity to expand out and decide how you're going to do that. Very good advice. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, like even now, we tell athletes or people that potentially want to sign up for coaching, we don't coach anything really below the 5K. So we do get a lot of questions about, you know, coaching for the mile or something like that. Or also we don't coach elite athletes. So pretty much anybody, you know, if you're trying to qualify for the Olympic trials or a kind of a faster runner, that's really not our bread and butter. That's not our focus. And so we tell people like, hey, I don't think you're going to be a great fit for us, but here are some people that I think might be a good fit for you based on what you're looking for.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for this part of the interview. We are going to change gears. You know, we always have the final kick. And
absolutely.
Anything else that you want to include before we change gears?
I just want to encourage anybody that is, you know, if fitness is your passion, running, and maybe running's not what you want to open a business in, but definitely go for it. You can do it on the side. You know, you can start part-time. That's how I did started. I was working a full-time job and just kind of teaching clients on the side. And then as I continued to grow and at some point made the switch to doing full-time. But if you have a passion and you have something you want to start a business on, definitely go for it and just work hard and stick with it.
As I mentioned at the start of the show, today's episode is brought to you courtesy of UKEN, the superstarch energy bars and powders that provide long-lasting fuel before and during runs and races with no sugar spikes and no crashes. This podcast loves companies and products backed by science and research, and as a runner, racer, and coach, UKEN has been on my list of preferred products for many years. Independent, peer-reviewed studies have shown that UKEN's patented superstarch formula delivers a steady release of carbohydrates over several hours, giving you long-lasting energy without the spike and crash in blood glucose. By avoiding the sugar spikes, superstarch helps put athletes in the metabolic state to burn more fat and be less reliant on frequent feedings of sugar-based fuels during your run. All this data means UKEN can help you avoid hitting the dreaded wall during your half, full, or ultramarathon distance. UKEN is also gentle on the stomach and used by Olympians Meb Keflezighi and Dathan Ritzenheim, pro runner Sarah Sellers, and more than 40 2020 Olympic marathon trials qualifiers. And because we know you love your science-backed products, we've got a special deal for you to try UKEN yourself. Head to runnersconnect.net/UKEN, that's UCAN, and use the code RTTT, and you'll get 20% off your first order. And we are back with Run to the Top podcast and special guest, owner, founder of Runners Connect, Mr. Jeff Gaudette. We're just about finished coming into the final kick. So how about a favorite local training run?
So my favorite in San Diego is the hills in Del Mar. So for anybody that's unfamiliar, if you drive to Del Mar, there's a parking lot right on the beach and you can go in both directions. And one direction takes you up kind of on the cliffs and you run alongside the railroad tracks right on the edge of the cliff. Beautiful run. It's a little shorter, but it's just absolutely gorgeous. And then you can head the other direction and basically head into the hills of Torrey Pines State Park. And so that's a really hilly run, but still very scenic. So both directions are beautiful. And it's one of the places I recommend the most when people ask where to run in San Diego.
Okay. Question number two, a recommended book, research, or video about starting your own business.
Yeah. So this one, I think for me, there's a podcast and a book. It's called Start Small, Stay Small. The author is named Rob Walling. They also do a podcast. He does it with another guy. It's called Startups for the Rest of Us. They focus a little bit more on their podcast focuses a little bit more on technology businesses. But the idea behind Start Small, Stay Small is really about focusing on people that want to start small businesses and not necessarily start massive growth companies like a Facebook or an Uber or whatever it may be. It's really focusing on people that want to have lifestyle businesses, that kind of thing. And so I really love that book, Start Small, Stay Small by Rob Walling, and his companion podcast, Startups for the Rest of Us.
All right. And we are just about at the end of this interview. So briefly go through the variety of programs, both free and paid, that you offer through Runners Connect and how our listeners can learn more from you.
Yeah. So we have a lot of free resources from training guides, ebooks, et cetera. We pretty much have everything from strength training, nutrition to training itself in either an ebook or a video course form. We also offer some challenges like we just started a 20-day core challenge, et cetera. And so those are all of our free resources. Our paid resources, obviously we provide training plans. We provide a couple different levels. So you can have one-on-one coaching. You can do what we call group coaching. And they range from anywhere from $49 to $169 a month, depending on, again, whether you want group or personal. And then we also offer a variety of programs. So strength training, nutrition, injury prevention, et cetera. And so those are all kind of one-off programs that you can go for based on if you have a specific need. So obviously there's a bunch of different URLs for all of those, but if you just head to runnersconnect.net, we have a couple of tabs of free resources and then paid resources as well.
And the podcast is on there too, the Run to the Top podcast.
It is, absolutely. And one thing I didn't mention in kind of what we're excited for coming forward is that we're actually in the midst of a really major redesign. So it's going to start with our training plans program and app and kind of redesigning that whole process, but then also transferring to the website itself, making everything, basically the big focus is making everything easier to find. One thing that we've had over the past years is we've produced so much content, podcasts, YouTube videos, articles, free resources, ebooks, et cetera, that as soon as, you know, you just kind of keep adding and adding and adding. And over time, it becomes almost difficult to find all the vast resources that we have. And so that's a big goal that we have over the next coming months. And so pretty excited for that.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, Jeff, it's been such a privilege talking with you again. It always is. And I'd also like to say how much fun it is working with you on this podcast. You're always there to support us or to support me when I need help. So thank you so much. And good luck for many continued years of success with Runners Connect.
Thank you very much. Really excited and always a pleasure to work with you too, Stephanie.
This concludes today's interview. Thank you, our audience, for joining us at Run to the Top. Follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. Please subscribe to the Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. You'll be notified every week when the new episode is published. And thank you, each of you, for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.